Hello, everybody. I'm Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet, about to be joined by Ken Weeb from the Winnipeg Free Press. Together, we are Kenny and Rennie. This is the Kenny and Rennie post-game show. After game one of the Stanley Cup final, first round between the Winnipeg Jets and the Colorado Avalanche, maybe, I tell you, maybe the most entertaining game I have ever seen live. I'm talking about when I was a kid going to watch Jets games. I'm talking about when I was a kid traveling around to different places and watching games. I'm talking about after the Jets left, and I used to jump in with my high school buddies and travel to far-flung places like Edmonton to go watch games. And then everything that I've seen, which is a lot of hockey games, I'll tell you, since I started doing this job, vastly entertaining game. The push pull of the entire thing, the Jets overcoming falling down some goals, the Colorado Avalanche pushing back, the Jets starting to take a push away in that game, Adam Lowry's goal that looked like it was it in, was it not in, his response on the bench and the response by the Winnipeg Jets players on the bench when they were waiting to see if that was the goal, the push towards the end of the game by the Colorado Avalanche to make that interesting and make it a 7-6 game. The response from the whiteout, first win in the whiteout since 2018, the way the crowd had so many opportunities to explode in that game was something else. Just everything, top to bottom, what an experience that was. How lucky are we all to be involved with watching it at home, watching in the arena, playoff hockey that looks like that. Two good teams, the way they played, absolutely phenomenal. That was a ton of fun. Let's get down to the analysis of it. And a lot of this is going to be tough to do, because let's just stop this before we go any further and say there's a deciding factor in this game. It's a pretty obvious one. Okay. The difference in this game is quite simply goaltending. Connor Hellebuyck on this night winning the Rennie stat by a long margin. Clearly the best goaltender in this game, even though he allowed 6 goals, even though he was sub 900, Connor Hellebuyck was far and away the better goaltender in this game. And Alexander Georgiev was absolutely terrible, let's just say. Now, I don't want to take credit away from the Jets for a number of their goals. The power play goal is a great one. Kyle Connor scores that. That's the kind of goal I think it would have been hard for any goalie to stop. Adam Lowry's goal that he scores, I mean, how much tighter does it get than going off 2 posts and in? You know, like if you're a goaltender, that's going to be pretty hard to stop. But Mike Kelly, who is often on the NHL Network and showed up on some Sportsnet shows in the last number of years. He does a lot of analytics. The analytic that folks out there, if you're trying to make the argument that Connor Hellebuyck is the best goaltender of a generation, the stat that will best tell you that would be the numbers crunch that suggests he saves vastly more goals above expected than any other goaltender in the league over a long stretch of time. So if you believe in that, and most Jets fans do believe in that, because if you want to believe that Connor Hellebuyck is the best goalie in the world, that's the stat that you need to lean on. If you're a believer in that stat, Alexander Georgiev allowed 4.3 goals above expected in this game, which means the expectation, if you played that game over and over again, would be that the Jets would lose that game by a 6-4 score or something like that. I don't know how much stock I put in those things, but no doubt about it, the Colorado Avalanche could have used a save in that game, and really wasted an opportunity for the Colorado Avalanche, who, if you take a look at that game, the amount of scoring chances they were able to generate, despite Connor Hellebuyck having a sub 900 save percentage, I believe it was 870 or something like that. I thought he made a lot of really key saves. It could have been worse out there for the Winnipeg Jets when it came to the amount of opportunities that the Colorado Avalanche were able to create. If you're taking a look at this game, you probably have to. If you're going to take off your blue tinted glasses, you probably have to look and say, you know, if average goaltending comes into play for the Colorado Avalanche, they probably played the better game on this night. Anyone out there, and I've been spending all this time about the theory of playoff Connor Hellebuck, tonight is not an example of playoff Connor Hellebuck. He has not arrived yet. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but this was not a game that you hang your hat on and say this is goaltending won you this game. So while playoff Connor Hellebuck remains a myth in my mind, playoff Adam Lowry by no means is a myth. This is concrete evidence. This is simple math. 1 + 1 = 2. Adam Lowry in the playoffs is, like, let's just say it, hands down for a long time has been the Winnipeg Jets' best player in the playoffs. And really, he's never been bad. You go back to 2015, first year the Winnipeg Jets made the playoffs. He was a beast in that series, a young man in 2015, shutting people down, but he's added this scoring element. I take a look at this. It's hard in a game with so many goals to say, well, this was the difference, that was the difference, you know, because there's so many goals and those leads get erased and all those different things. And Adam Lowry by no means had the game winner in this game. But when this game was at its most crucial point, I thought Adam Lowry scores the goal on the 2-on-1. His response, I think, is just like the way he stops at the net, the way he points at the net, or is he pointing at Alexander Georgiev? I mean, there's a swagger there that I think the Jets just built off. And then he gets the next goal after that, that I think really breaks it wide open to the degree that the Jets are able to roll and go up to 7 goals in that game. Essentially, they barely, but they did put that game out of reach for the Colorado Avalanche. And I truly believe it was Adam Lowry's performance at the most crucial time of the game that was the difference in this game outside of the goaltending. That said, you can't sleep on the idea that Josh Morrissey was great in this game. Kyle Connor was phenomenal in this game. Mark Scheifele, phenomenal in this game. In a series that was supposed to be about the Jets structure versus the super high-end talent of the Colorado Avalanche, the high-end talent of the Winnipeg Jets won the night on this night. And I know, last thing I'll say before we bring Kenny in, because he just popped into the green room, everyone knows how I feel about this series. I think that this series is a walk. Hey, it's out there. I told the entire Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada crew, they came over to me and I said, oh, we hear that you're promising us only one trip to Colorado. You think this series is going to go that quick? And a lot of people tonight were saying, well, does this change your mind about this? And I say no. And this is the reason why. The conditions could not have been more perfect for the Colorado Avalanche to win this game, and they weren't able to do it. And it took some late minute miracles for them to get it close enough to look like they had a chance to win this game. I say it like this. The Winnipeg Jets, as they are constructed, took a night off and they beat the Colorado Avalanche at their own game. Why? Well, because you get goals from your fourth line, because your stars can be stars. Your second line, your second scoring line, even though it wasn't highly productive tonight, was still really, really good. Eric Engel sitting beside me thought they were actually the Jets' best line on the night. And then your third line, your grinding shutdown line, went and outperformed the line it was trying to shut down. Okay. Winnipeg Jets can beat you any way they want. I think from this point on, the games will not look like this. They will start to closer resemble the games that we saw from these two teams in the regular season, which will only tilt the scales in the favor of the Winnipeg Jets. This is a night, in my mind, the Colorado Avalanche had to get this win. The Winnipeg Jets allowed them to play their style of hockey, and the Winnipeg Jets still won. This is, I know a lot of people were saying to me, this is confirmation that this is going to be a way tougher series for the Winnipeg Jets. On the contrary, I think this is evidence of my take on this, that the Colorado Avalanche just simply are not built to win against the Winnipeg Jets. That's my take on this whole thing. Time to bring in the man with the best music in the business for his take. Here comes Kenny, folks. Dan, you're looking absolutely crisp on this night there. White shirt, very, very professional. Hey, I'm rocking a new one from Frankie and the boys. Got a lot of compliments on this bad boy today. A lot of people out there saying, well, hey, where'd you go for that? And I was like, you know where I went. You know where I went. And the folks know where I went. And hey, if you're looking in the mirror right now and you don't look like Kenny and Rennie, you don't got any excuses. It's pretty simple to do. Hey, I'm just a 3 dressed up as a 9, but in the case of Vittorio Rossi and the folks, I'm a 3 dressed up as a 10. You want to be like Rennie, a 3 dressed up as a 10, head on down to Vittorio Rossi. Walk in, loudly proclaim Kenny and Rennie Sanchez. Ask for Frankie and the boys, and you'll walk out looking like this and have members of the national media commenting over and over on your clothing. Ken, let's get right into it. Lots to talk about. If we tried to break down each and every single goal, this would be a 3-hour show. So let's not do that. Let's just get kind of to the heart of what was going on in that game. What'd you see?
Yeah, I saw, a leader leading is what I saw. I know you touched on Adam a lot in the opening, so I'll save him for a bit later in terms of the buffet. I'm going to start with the guy who was sitting beside him at the podium, Sean. I thought Kyle Connor was excellent today for the Jets. Yeah. I thought his play on Casey Mittelstadt really sort of set the tone for the Jets. It was a really smart forecheck. Mittelstadt acted like he didn't know he was coming. And that's part of the disruption for Kyle Connor. I thought that was an excellent job on the forecheck. Leads the way for Vilardi to find Scheifele. Such a smart play there. And I just thought that he was... had his sights were set, and he was sort of had that lethal shot going in the game. And we often think of Kyle as kind of a quiet, sort of staying in the shadows kind of person. But I love the celebration after the power play one timer. I mean, that shows you a guy who is usually pretty buttoned down and likes to kind of stay out of the spotlight. This was a guy soaking it in and relishing the whiteout to its fullest. I loved his game all around. I thought that line really had some great moments in the game. Sean Scheifele, obviously solid, 1 and 2 for 3. You know, you had 2 and 1 for 3 for Kyle Connor, 2 helpers for Gabriel Vilardi. I really liked the play of that line as a whole. And I thought that, we were talking about what matchup would they be facing, right? With Adam Lowry going up against Nathan MacKinnon for the most part, would Lowry be up against would Mittelstadt be playing against Monahan? Would it be Scheifele? Could the Jets get that Scheifele line out against the third and the fourth lines of the Avalanche as well? I just really thought that, you talk about star power. And you mentioned Morrissey as well, 1 and 1 for 2. I thought that Josh was just absolutely fabulous in this game as well. Did a very good job against the MacKinnon line when he was out there against him. Driving play, their puck movement on that power play goal by Kyle Connor was excellent. I thought Alex Iafallo played one of his best games as a Jet. And we know, Rick Bonus saying, didn't really go very expansive in the answer when I asked him about him at the podium. But, I thought that Alex Iafallo was so engaged, Sean, emotionally, physically. This guy is not a big guy, but he was mixing it up with Brandon Duhaime, not backing down whatsoever in front of the Jets bench in the first period. His simple but smart play on the first goal or the second goal by Vladislav Namestnikov, absolute beauty, right? All he does is lay his stick on the ice, right? There it is. It causes the turnover for Josh Manson. Vladdy Namestnikov unloads a slapper from the middle of the slot, and the Jets, fourth line gets an early contribution. And Sean, we've talked about their depth so much, and when that fourth line can get involved offensively right out of the gate, it just sends a message through the entire team that those guys are here to play. In terms of goaltending, Leslie says Hellebuck will be much better next game and the Jets will get back to their structure. I don't have a problem with Hellebuck's game. 2 power play goals and 1 at 6 on 5. I don't think Connor Hellebuck was shaky. They updated it to 40 saves. Was he peak Connor Hellebuck? No, but I thought he made a lot of great saves. He really stabilized the Jets, Sean, early in the game. 11-1 were the shots on net. And yeah, sure, some of them were from the outside, but that's a game that could have got away from them in a hurry for me. I love the physicality from guys like Adam Lowry, from Brendan Dillon. I thought Brendan Dillon was absolutely fabulous in this game as well. There was definitely some hostility, Sean, which we kind of expected. You know, the Avalanche didn't like getting their ass kicked during the season series. They didn't like getting blown out 7-0 8 days ago. 100 hits in the game was not something I had on the bingo card, Sean, quite frankly. That's a lot of hits. I mean, this was reminiscent of 2015 Jets and Ducks kind of physical nature.
I think someone from the Hockey Night in Canada crew tweeted, like, showed the early stats on the hits and was like, exactly what we were talking about in the pregame. Okay. So I think
that's great. I mean,
the pregame was on it and expected that. Yeah.
Well, that's impressive because, I mean, the Jets aren't the same team as they were in 2015. They were a much more physical team then. And, you know, Avalanche had 54 to 46 for the Jets. I expected high intensity for sure. These teams are, they're into it, which is great. I mean, that's what you want to see in playoff hockey. I like that early on the refs let them play. I thought it was a fun game on a lot of fronts. I wasn't expecting there to be 100 hits. I mean, it is playoff hockey. Yes. And kudos to both teams for playing hard. It was a fun game overall. I mean, that's, you know, let's start there and we'll dig into the rest. But I thought it, you know, again, do the Jets want to play 7-6 game in this series? Of course not. But they got into a track meet. And then, as Kyle Connor pointed out at the podium, sometimes you got to play the game that's in front of you. So for me, the bigger issue for the Jets will be, you know, getting back to their structure. I thought, you know, they had a couple of cough ups as well. I mean, Dylan Sandberg, we've praised him all year long. He's had a great year. Tough turnover on the Miles Wood goal. I mean, that's not the kind of game that he has been playing. Kind of almost panicked a little bit behind the net on that play. Wouldn't you say, Sean? I mean, good job by the forecheck, but we haven't seen a lot of those turnovers from Dylan Sandberg.
No,
result in goals. So
not at all.
That was a bit surprising.
Here in a game like this, you see a guy like Josh Manson who makes, in my mind, an equally egregious turnover that really, I think, you know, that you talked about that fourth line goal and Alex Iafallo. That was a real game turner because up to that point, the Colorado Avalanche had been dominating the Jets and Manson had been playing phenomenally. And then this is a very simple play, right? He gets the puck. Alex Iafallo is moved in. And all you do is you throw the puck up the boards. You redirect it off the boards and it's a pass and it's getting out. He tries to get fancy and one touch it. And the one thing I wanted to point out with Alex Iafallo, you know, you touched on it and we probably can't go back to it, but this is
sure the second
straight game in which Alex Iafallo has taken with a defensive stick, broken up a play and redirected the puck right to the person and given them a scoring chance. I don't think that these are flukes. I don't think it's just bouncing off his stick. He is not only disrupting. I mean, this guy deserves a superhero costume fit with a cape and a large D on his chest because he is the disruptor, a guy who goes in there and takes a play that is fully in the control of the opposition team and redirects it, not only gets the puck turned over, but makes it an immediate turnover to the point that the player who gets the puck is in all alone with the goaltender. Last game, it was Gabriel Vilardi, boom, in the back of the net. This time, it's Vladislav Nemestikov, boom, in the back of the net. Alex Iafallo in a one goal game, you're a difference maker. Alex Iafallo has now for two straight games found a way to put his stamp on games that matters. The one at the end of the season that puts them ahead of the Vancouver Canucks, should they go to the conference final against the Vancouver Canucks. And now tonight, to be honest with you, I think outside of Adam Lowry's goals, that was the most important goal of the game because it basically puts a halt to the momentum that is being felt at that moment. It could have been, like you said, if we're going to give Connor Hellebuck credit for making saves that kept that from getting a runaway game, I think that immediate turnaround for the Winnipeg Jets helped keep that from getting to be a runaway game and give Alex Iafallo credit. He's the guy who made it happen twice now.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing too, Sean, the Josh Morrissey's goal, I mean, the people were into it to start, but then it was, you know, kind of on the verge of maybe getting a little bit quieter in the building. And then Morrissey gets the seeing eye wrister through traffic. And I love, again, celebration. That was a little bit reminiscent to that St. Louis game, right? Where Josh sparked the comeback and got into it. Yeah, I think that this was Alex Iafallo's best game as a Jet, quite frankly. And yes, I realize he played up in the top six for a good chunk of the year. I really thought that his playoff intensity found another notch or two today, Sean, quite frankly. And he's just such a smart player. And that's why he was on the ice protecting the lead late in the game, even though his minutes weren't terribly high, just barely over 10 today. But he was the guy out there, you know, for the defensive zone faceoffs and in that regard. I thought he was excellent.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's get to this right off the bat. Let's just get to our Pristine Roofing wake-up call. I think the Pristine Roofing wake-up call, despite the joy, I think this is kind of one of those Pristine Roofing wake-up calls with a smile on your face that Rick Bowness is probably giving his team the Rick Bowness Pristine Roofing wake-up call to say, guys, this was fun. It's great. And like he said in the post-game, you never criticize a win, especially one in the playoffs. But he doesn't want to play this style anymore. I don't think the Winnipeg Jets are going to come anywhere close to a game like this in the series going forward.
Agreed.
No doubt he wants his team to wake up to the joys of the Rick Bowness blueprint and the defensive style system. And of course, that means it's time to give North End Rick the Pristine Roofing wake-up call at 1204-981-6289. He's the guy to call for any of your roofing, siding, exterior needs. Have him down. He'll tell you what needs to be done, or you can call Pristine Roofing themselves at 1204-237-7663. Don't forget their Pay It Forward program, in which they are giving away a free roof to someone who needs one but may not be able to pay for it. If that sounds like someone in your life, get a hold of Pristine Roofing, tell them your case, and you may help that person end up with a free roof courtesy of the best, Pristine Roofing and Siding. They'll get it done, and they'll get it done right. Let's get to Mark Scheifele. Gabe Vilardi, I think, had 2 points on this night. Scheifele, 3. Kyle Connor, 3. I had thought going into that game, watching Mark Scheifele in the pregame skate, the way he's conducted himself in the dressing room for a while now, Ken, Mark Scheifele seems like a man on a mission to me. And I think lost in, you know, the bad goaltending that we saw from the Colorado Avalanche, lost in, you know, the Adam Lowry doing what he did, the things that we're talking about, is a line that I think comes into this series believing that they can outscore Nathan MacKinnon's line, a line that not too long ago was maligned, a line, two players that fans and the fan base wanted to see split up for quite some time, for, you know, and maybe people feeling they weren't seeing Kyle Connor doing the things he should be doing. The hit that he creates to separate the man and the puck and create a turnover, yeah, gets on Gabe Vilardi's stick and he takes it out front, passes it to Mark Scheifele, and it's in the back of the net. Another huge goal in that game there, but just a sign of the kind of hockey that he's playing to make that line succeed. But tell me, Ken, because you were the guy when that line got split up, you were the guy advocating to get those players back together. Are you seeing what you expected to see from them by this stage?
Absolutely, yes. There's always room for growth, of course. I thought that line was dominant today, and the analytics folks are going to agree with their, you know, 64.63 expected goals for percentage today. You know, again, there's still shots on goal were, you know, yeah, shots for 7, 12 against. But, I mean, that this is a team that doesn't need volume, Sean. I mean, high danger chances, too zip for the line itself, 4, none against. So, I love the speed that Kyle Connor played with today. I love the way that Gabriel Vilardi played all game long. I thought he was a force out there. And, you know, there was a reason we spoke with Mark Scheifele on Saturday at Hockey for All Center, and why I wrote about him in the Winnipeg Free Press. This was something, Sean, where for me, this is crazy to think of. Mark Scheifele hasn't finished a Jets playoff series since 2019. Like, that's a long time ago. He hasn't finished a series. There's two injuries, one bad one with the, you know, foot with the Tkachuk incident against Calgary, knocked out last year early in game 4. You have the suspension that we all remember. Like, Mark Scheifele hasn't finished a playoff series since 2019. When he's on the ice, he's a force. We know that. We know how he played in 2018. But Mark wants to play like that for, you know, as many rounds as possible this year, whether that's 3 or 4. I mean, he obviously wants it to be 4. But I thought that, to me, he just seems like a guy who's ready. I love the answers he was giving about, you know, learning from your good and bad, you know, playoff experiences. And he's had a lot of both of those things and a lot of frustration. And for me, yeah, sorry, guys, who did the Jets play after the Oilers series? He didn't finish the series against the Montreal Canadiens. Sorry.
I'm not sorry. Talking to you. Don't worry about
it. Okay. So anyways, he didn't finish the series the last series that they played. Sorry, I should have clarified that. But anyways, Mark is so focused and ready to go. He's had such a great season. You know, again, still remained just under a point per game player, even though, you know, he didn't have 42 goals this year, but he had a great two-way game going, and he was such an important player for them all year. But Mark wants to have a big playoff, right? This is legacy building time for these guys. Same with Connor Hellebuyck. We've talked about this for months now. It's an important time of the year for these guys to cement. And I love guys like Mason Appleton being very open and talking about the hunger. Nikolai Ehlers today, Sean. I mean, these guys, we've talked about the, you know, the hanging up the mission accomplished banner and all of those things. These guys know they haven't accomplished anything at all yet, right? So they want to accomplish something. And hey, this is just one win. They need 15 more if they want to get to where they want to get to. But if the Jets are going to win 15 more games, Mark Scheifele is going to be in the middle of everything. And his line mates are also very focused to have an absolutely dominant playoff. And they got off to a good start. And I agree with you, Sean. I mean, Adam Lowry's line did a great job against McKinnon. But Scheifele got a few shifts against them too. And they handled themselves pretty well. And I'm impressed by that. I mean, again, room for growth for sure. But, you know, all the focus going into this series was on the Avalanche Stars. Jet Stars were absolutely fabulous in the game today, and they're going to need to continue to be.
Just to this point, to build, I think you handled that really well. I don't know that I have a lot to add to that, but C-Mac did say this 55 was fired up tonight. He wasn't taking you-know-what from anyone. I think about, you know, the amount of scrums that he got into in this game. I think about when Josh Morrissey takes a cross-check to the back, and the first guy in there in that case, you know, the guy who's got 3 points on the night is Mark Scheifele. Like, this is, to me, I think you always knew that that line would work if they all did the things that they're supposed to be doing that we know that they're capable of. Right. Yep. And when they're doing it, this is what they look like. Right. And so I think, you know, Rick Bowness, again, we had a lot of people in the fan base who were really ripping on Rick Bowness and suggesting that he didn't know how to manage lines and that his line management was laughable and all these different kind of things. I also think there were some of those people who were suggesting that the third line should have been split up in that case. I'm not saying that you're both, you know, other people had that take as well, Ken, and didn't want to back down from it. But I mean, this is what he knew they were capable of, right? Now they didn't get there, and I think a lot of people were, you know, pissed off about that and pissed off at some of the effort. And I can understand that as a fan, and I think as a coach, you'd be pissed off that you are not getting maybe the effort that you're fully expecting. But a coach can't just say, "Well, I'm pissed off, or I'm not getting this, and I'm breaking it up." A coach has to be like, "Well, I know this will work, though. And so what do I got to do to get it to work? Do I need to motivate these guys? Do I need to punish these guys? Do I need to split lines apart?" It was clear in this that where he wanted to get back to was this line. He just needed to get it working the way that it worked properly. This is just another one of those things that Rick Bowness snapped together right at the end of the season and locked in, because this line walks into this, and it's probably the best line in this game, at least. You know, I don't know. I don't want to take it. McKinnon was pretty darn good tonight. Nichushkin's line, I thought, was really, really good tonight. Yep. Although I'll say this, Nichushkin looks great and Lehkonen looks great, and I don't want to be that guy. But Mittelstadt looks like the least effective guy on that line, and he's the center. The guy that you want driving that line looks like the guy. Now, maybe give it a couple years and he'll figure it out, because the way that those guys play, they play a really good game. They're able to find each other. Maybe Mittelstadt just still needs to figure it out. But I'll say this, Sean Monahan seems to have figured it out pretty good with the Winnipeg Jets. So if you're looking for bang for your buck right now, Mittelstadt, to me, even though he gets a goal here tonight, is not getting what the Jets are getting out of Sean Monahan. I go in a different direction. Just let's get back to the Scheifele thing. Sure. They're doing all the things that Rick Bowness wanted or expect them to be capable of doing. They didn't do it for a long time. People were upset. They wanted them broken up and never to play again. What they're doing right now will make this team a hard team to beat, especially with the goaltending that Colorado seems to have. Ken, why don't you give Sweet Lou a shout out while we're doing this?
Yeah, right on. For folks who have realty needs you'd like to have met, contact our main man, Lou Ferlin, at Royal LePage and Emmick Realty, 204-791-9971, or at the office, 204-989-5000. His email is lou@louferlin.ca. That's L-O-U at L-O-U-F-U-R-L-A-N.ca. Lou Ferlin, excellent realtor, excellent human being, and excellent supporter of the community, including this podcast. Sean, on my way in, Sarah Orleski and I went out to check out things along the concourse and outside. Came back inside. Sweet Lou was getting ready to go into the building. So had a quick hello. He was ready to roll, and great to see him at the game. I'm guessing he enjoyed himself. Would have been a fun game to be in the seats for.
Let's just say it like this. 2018, the last time the Winnipeg Jets won in the whiteout, and Sweet Lou walks in the building and they win. I guess so. Call him the streak breaker or the slump breaker. Attaboy, Lou. And hey, I might as well go to this before we move off from the first line. The moving them back, undoing the change that he had done, Rick Bowness, to take that line apart and then putting them back together. That was an undo they liked. And if you'd like to undo your high interest credit cards or loans or anything like that, and if you're looking to pay off high interest credit cards or debt, we suggest you go talk to our friends at Cambridge Credit Union about their payoff loan. They can show you how taking out a loan to pay off your debt actually gets you debt-free faster, and you can save thousands of dollars. Go to cambrian.mb.ca to book an appointment online. Okay, let's get to Adam Lowry. I honestly trying to get some really good answers on this. I feel like I didn't quite get it. What do you think it is about Adam Lowry that he seems to take his game to another level? Or is he just simply built for the playoffs? The playoff game turns to what Adam Lowry is, and then all of a sudden the goals start going in.
Yeah, I mean, you always hear built for playoffs. That guy's built for the playoffs. Well, he doesn't have to change his game, right? This is the game he plays all the time. And going to the hard areas is what is conducive to scoring in the playoffs. There, you know, not a ton of, you know, there were some snake charmer goals in the game today, but most of the goals are scored around that blue paint area. And, you know, Lowry, both of his, I mean, yes, first one's coming down Main Street. The second one is just a beautiful play all around. But yeah, I mean, this guy's a leader, right? That's our captain, is what Brendan Dillon said. And that's all he needed. It's all he needed to say.
Yeah, a leader in his own right. Brendan Dillon's the kind of guy that you would follow into the breach in any kind of scenario. Yeah. And he turns to Adam Lowry. He's like, that's our captain. You know, it always means something coming from an NHL player, them saying that. But a guy like Brendan Dillon saying it and saying it like that means a whole lot.
Absolutely. And I mean, that line was, I thought Mason Appleton was just absolutely tremendous in the game today too, Sean. I know some folks have been, you know, sending some grief his direction throughout the course of the year. I thought Appleton, you always say it, Sean, he is often the first guy on the forecheck. He was on his game. Nino Niederreiter, to me, still shaking off a little bit of the rust after missing that time with the skate cut, the leg laceration, but I liked his game. He got involved. And Sean, there, you know, that's a little sneak peek. I think there's a little bit of a play from Nino that could end up on a little bit of a focus of the Johnston group, got you covered play as we move along, even though Alex Iafallo has a, you know, probably has a case to be made for himself as well. Loved Lowry's game all around. I mean, what's not to love? 6 hits, 2 goals, you know, just under 50% in the faceoffs dot. Just solid all around. I thought he was an absolute force out there. But at the same time, the first thing that Adam is saying is, you know, McKinnon got that shot off the post and early in the third period. I mean, they just don't like giving up anything, and thought, man, we need some more of those churning shifts in the offensive zone. But I thought one of the biggest things in the entire game, Lowry's line did make that McKinnon line spend a ton of time in their own zone checking. And Sean, those guys don't want to be in their zone checking. They want to be in the happy zone. So I thought that was another great thing that Lowry's line did in that game. And all 3 of them were excellent. But Lowry was the guy driving the bus. There's no doubt about it.
Well, just his ability to score at the most crucial.
Oh, man, yes.
Basically, he gets 2 opportunities in this game, and he buries them. But the other part of the mindset that I love is when Adam Lowry gets playing that way. And honestly, this is what I think the difference between Adam Lowry is in the playoffs versus the regular season. I always talked about this with Pierre-Luc Dubois. When Pierre-Luc Dubois got the mind and started playing that game that he was like, I'm just going to go to the net, and what are you going to do about it? That's when Pierre-Luc Dubois was the best hockey player. That's what you get from Adam Lowry right now, right? Like, that's a two-on-one there. And, you know, a guy who's not the biggest scorer out there, his tendency is going to be, well, defer and pass the puck across. And you know what? Georgiev's not having that good of a night. So if I pass it across, whatever shot the guy gets off, there's probably a higher chance it's going in because Georgiev is not that, you know, that high end. I've seen times in the regular season where I think Adam Lowry may defer a little bit to moving the puck. You could see it. He was just going to go to the net. You're not going to stop me. I'm going in and I'm going to score. Like, he's built for those moments. He's built for the playoffs, not just because of his game, but, you know, I had a coach say this to me one time. There's actually a very small amount of players at any level that want the puck on their stick at the most crucial point of a game. Adam Lowry's one of those guys. And because he's one of those guys, and because the bigger the moment gets, the more he wants to be the guy affecting the game. That's why Adam Lowry becomes so much more a prolific scorer in the postseason, because I don't even think it's scoring. He approaches it the same way as he would a good forecheck, the same way as he would a good hit in the corner, the same way he would a good back check, the same way he would snuffing out and killing an odd man rush. Scoring the goal is the same thing. There's a sense in him that this is the thing that you do right now that is going to affect the outcome of the game, and he wants to be that guy. And so on a night like tonight, he scored. And Ken, his responses are the response of a guy who knows he's going to score, right? Like, the first goal he scores, he puts it five hole. And I said to Eric Engels, he always does this. He goes five hole, right? But he scores and he turns. He stops at the net. It's almost like he's like, it's not enough that he just scored. He needs to show the world that he scored, get in the goalie's face. And then his response, after he scores that second goal, and you heard him afterwards, said he saw it go over the line. Right. So he expected it. But like, when the guys on the bench start celebrating, it's not like, oh gosh, aw shucks, which Adam Lowry for the most part is an aw shucks guy. Yeah. He's like pointing in the ice and he's celebrating. He's having it. Like, Adam Lowry wanted to be the guy who burned and buried the Colorado Avalanche on this night. And I personally think more than any other Winnipeg Jet, he was that guy on this.
Yeah,
night.
You bet. And honestly, one more thing, Sean, on the 2-on-1, like, if he hadn't scored, like, that was one of those plays where it looked like Adam was going to just bowl the goalie right over and will the puck right into the net. Don't you think? Yes. If he hadn't have actually scored five, if there had been a rebound, I think he would have just left the puck and bowled him right over.
Totally.
It was one of those
plays. He kind of clipped him even after he scored.
And question I'm going to show my age here quickly before we turn the page on this. Sean, being his 1975 birthday, like, Adam Lowry would look, he's an old school player, and that I mean in the biggest compliment. Adam Lowry could have been playing center between Bob Nystrom and John Tinelli, like on those Islanders teams. That's how he plays. That's why he's effective come playoff time.
Well, hey, he could have been playing against the Flyers in the 70s. He could have been playing against the big bad Bruins. Like, he's the kind of guy you could have seen going and getting into a war with Larry Robinson. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of guy that he is. Adam Lowry would survive and thrive in any era of hockey. He is like as pure as it gets a hockey player, and it's good to see him getting done what he gets done at this point. One more thing before we move on from that. Do you think the refs missed an interference call on Nino Niederreiter on that 2-on-1?
On the 2-on-1? I mean, I didn't see it in real time, but I heard the broadcast pointed it out that there was maybe a little tug there. But again, I would also say the tug was maybe in response to the slash that was missed on Makar. Stick broke a stick in half, right? Isn't that when it happened right after? So
I didn't see the
that's
the
why he grabbed onto
people
it,
were referring to would have happened like before I saw it. I didn't see whether it was hit him slashing the stick that broke it or not. If that's the case and the refs did that, then that's justice, right?
That's but what I think happened on the play, right. Sean. I think there's no other reason for Nino to grab him, right? I mean,
right. Well, he drops the stick. He's got no stick. Cale Makar is probably going to go grab that puck and hold it in the zone. And Nino reaches out with the two hands and grabs his stick and keeps his stick from getting to the puck. But listen, I'll say it like this. If Cale Makar didn't slash Nino Niederreiter's stick to break his stick, then that was a missed interference call and a pretty big one, I would think, given that it resulted in 2-on-1. But if he did, then it's sweet justice and a great job done by the officials on the non-call in that case, because the only reason he has to reach out is because he has no stick, because the stick is broken. Anyway.
Yeah, tip for Todd, I think, is what we saw there.
Yeah.
Here, how about here? Let's, right here or no? Let's go here quickly.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. Oh, hey. Let's talk atmosphere. But before we do that, let's kind of brighten the atmosphere in here, because it was called for earlier on. Tishu said, you played 4 songs straight in the season windup, yet first playoff win in years, and we have to wait. Come on, Sean. The people are calling for it. Let's get the headband. You ask, and ye shall receive, Tishu. Time to make this a Sean's headband version of the Kenny and Rennie Show. All right. First off, before we get rolling here, Ken, as part of the atmosphere, I was impressed by the, now this is going to sound like reporters just looking for, you know, like a little bit of free stuff and swag and stuff like that. But when we showed up at our seats tonight, there was a game puck that was set up that, you know, talking about the first round, talking about, you know, like the matchup, the pucks that they would use in warm up or the pucks that they would use during the game. There was a Jets leather bound notebook, smells like leather. And I forget. It was from the Anchorman. His office smells like leather and something. I don't know what it is.
Aftershave. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not sure what it was. They had these there, these little Crown Royal bottles there. I want to tell you why I think this is significant. Okay. And I'm going to go back to 2018. When we went down there, we went, to Nashville, and as part of that series, you showed up and sitting in your seat was a bag of like southern biscuits that you just take this home, add water and a little bit of cheese, and you're going to make these really good southern biscuits. And they had like a batter for catfish batter from down there, and they had little bottles of Jack Daniel's whiskey, right? And basically what they're trying to do is, I know people think it's just like journalists, and hey, I'll tell you this, it's cool to get free stuff. I'm not going to like say that's not cool. But what it did is I walked away from that. I came home, I made this, I used that on some walleye, I used the batter on that, all these different kind of things. And the Nashville Predators were trying to show writers who came in from all over the country, because that's what's happening right now, right, Ken? Lots of writers coming in from Colorado. Tracy Myers, a good friend of ours, really good friend of yours from NHL.com, up here from Chicago. There's people whose job it is to write and talk about the Winnipeg Jets, but also the city of Winnipeg and the fans and the experience. And when we went down to Nashville, and Nashville at that time had gone to the Cup the year before, and they were like really making their name, Nashville was really trying to show the NHL, the writers, everyone coming in, this is who we are. Let's give you a little bit of a flavor of what we are, who we are, what Nashville is all about. And, you know, well, Jack Daniel's whiskey, it's the number one selling whiskey in the world, Ken. Do you want to know what the number two selling whiskey in the entire world is?
I'm going to guess Crown Royal. I'm just going to throw it out there.
It's made 40 minutes from the city of Winnipeg. And at that time, of course, Tennessee whiskey, Jack Daniel's. At that time, we went down there and I thought, when we got back to Winnipeg, there just really wasn't anything sitting there. I don't think the Jets were prepared. They were maybe a little bit new to the playoffs or whatever, but you showed up there and all these Nashville folks who had just showed you everything that they were, and this is who we are, and these are our biscuits and all this kind of stuff. And they showed up and there really wasn't anything there that would show you what Winnipeg is. This kind of stuff, I think, is important. Winnipeg, this is a world-class destination. One of the most famous things in the world in Crown Royal is made 40 minutes down the road. And a lot of Winnipeggers don't even know that's the case. This is an effort to kind of show you, you want to know the things that make us unique. Do you want to know the things that make us special? Well, it's stuff like this. It's stuff like the whiteout that was absolutely electric here tonight. You saw people talking about it. You saw Pat McAfee watching the game tonight and tweeting about how bananas our barn was. The Winnipeg Jets, as an organization thing, I think did a really good job of trying to show the world who we are. And you fans, the whiteout, did a phenomenal job of showing the world who the Winnipeg Jets are, who the Winnipeg Jets fan base is, and what Winnipeg is all about.
Hey, and Pat McAfee, if he wants to bring the show down for a live edition during the playoffs here, we'd welcome him with open arms, don't you think? We'd also find some space for him on the Kenny and Rennie show. Sean, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm 100% sure he's watching, Ken. So, I mean, if you want to hop on right now, Pat, I guess we can elbow some room for you. You know, put some sleeves on and you can come on Kenny and Rennie at any time. Hey, maybe Frankie and the boys could get him, the nicest tank top he's ever had in his life, and he could hop on the show. That would be a great one. Before we do get, we should talk quickly about special teams because there's good and bad with Winnipeg Jets tonight. And that, give me your takeaway on the special teams for both teams.
Yeah, first and foremost, Sean, I'm going to say it this way. The Jets were 1-for-2 in the power play, and their power play where they didn't score was what we've been talking about for weeks, Sean. They didn't score, but they were in the zone for a long time. The second unit came out, moved the puck around, all kinds of chances. Top unit came out, had some chances. This is what we mean when we say you may not have to score every time, but you need to create momentum on the power play. That's exactly what the Jets did. Next time they get an opportunity, they have great puck movement, Sean. Shifley, Morrissey, Connor, bang, goal. To me, the power play looked really good. Penalty kill is in the not so good category. They weren't as sharp as they need to be. Two goals against, 2-for-2 for the Avalanche, I believe. That's not a recipe for success, but again, you know that the opposition's going to score. And like someone said in the chat earlier, at 5-on-5, Hellebuck was excellent, gave up 2 goals in the power play, one at 6-on-5 that he had no chance on, Mittelstadt banging it out of the air after it hit a couple of bodies. But special teams, penalty kill needs to be a little bit better. But again, power play I thought was excellent on both opportunities. And, that's a good sign for them because the movement was good for both units. So I would say, again, they lost the special teams battle. As a whole, the special teams, power play, definitely excellent. Penalty kill, room for improvement. And I think you're going to see more improvement as the series goes on.
Yeah. I find it interesting the way that Colorado was able to move the puck. I'll give them credit. Like if you want to talk about, you want to shut things down and they're going to make their tweaks and I don't expect them to score like this, but a lot of the goals that they scored were repeatable goals, right? The kind of goals that the Jets, the Jets needed to get into that game. What did they do? You could see it happening. I turned to Eric Engels before the goal goes in the back of the net. When they did that thing where I think it was, Kyle Connor gets the puck, gives it to Brendan Dillon. Brendan Dillon comes across, drops it off to Josh Morrissey. Josh Morrissey takes the shot. Basically, it's almost like the proper version of snake charming. The three guys on top get everyone looking on top. And then what happens is the two Jets guys down low get to the front of the net. Suddenly they're in the way and creating chaos. And then Josh Morrissey shoots that puck and the goalie never sees it. And boom, it's in the back of the net. Well, Colorado, I thought, did a good job for a team that, a lot of people would suggest wants to just pass the puck into the back of the net, which they tried to do a number of times tonight. They also seem to say, okay, let's just send Nichushkin to the front of the net and get some shots in like that. So I thought that was a good sign for the Colorado Avalanche success that they can create going forward. I still do think there's some things, a lot of things that the Colorado Avalanche could take away from this game and say, okay, let's add this, let's subtract that, and we could make this series a little bit closer. And that to me was one of those things. I think they've got the kind of bodies that can get to the front of the net and create chaos. And we're able to do that on this night. I can't even get into that. I'll get into that if I see it happen again, but so just a little subtle play Josh Morrissey did. I can't get into it. Take too long to explain. Other than that, the Jets, I thought their power play looked really good. And that pass that you make across to get over to Kyle Connor, that's what they're trying to open up. I also thought there was another couple times they got the puck down to Gabe Vilardi and he looked really dangerous. Yeah. That's something that I don't think the Colorado Avalanche have figured out. And they may have been better off losing 8-6 tonight, Ken, with Gabe Vilardi scoring one of those goals or making one of those passes to make them aware of it. Because as it stands right now, because it didn't burn them, I'm going to go on the record here and think that and suggest that later on in this series, Gabe Vilardi is going to burn them on the power play. Because what I see down there is what I've seen with a lot of teams so far. No one has really built a book on how to shut down Gabe Vilardi when you can get to the puck to him in that spot. Jets look dangerous. They got the goal. Even without the goal, I would have been impressed by what their power play looked like tonight, and I think it bodes well for them going forward. Okay, time to start moving on and go for the Johnston Group.
Got sorry, we should... Okay, never mind. Sounds good. I'm going to go with the...
Oh, you want to get to that? Okay, go. No, yeah, we've got time. Go to...
Sorry, we've talked... Well, I mean,
part of the way... Right.
Jets kind of got on the scene, early on, the silver medal chant, Crosby's better. Like, this was kind of, to me, this was along those lines, but to me, it was probably the most ruthless chant that the folks from Friendly Manitoba had ever come up with here in terms of the pull the goalie chant that was rolling around, directed at Alexander Georgiev, who obviously had a tough night. I mean, whenever your save percentage is in the 600s, it's been a tough go. There's no doubt about that. And again, for folks who don't know, Justus Annunen was sick today, unavailable to the Avalanche. And there's some buzz that he might have actually started game one. And that left Arvid Holm, the former Manitoba Moose backup, as the Avalanche backup tonight. So again, Jared Bednar was asked directly if he was considering a coaching change post game. He said he wasn't getting it. Like, he's said he wasn't getting into it at this time, or he hadn't thought about it. So, it'll be interesting. He said he had to see if Annunen was available. And, Sean, what do you think? I think he absolutely is considering a goalie change for game two. Don't you? If he's available? Sure.
How could you not? If he's not available, interesting. I saw some writers in Colorado suggest, that Georgiev should not see the ice for the rest of this season. Like, I have to think, give the Colorado Avalanche credit. Their goaltender gave them at least 5, if not 7 reasons tonight to quit in that game, to give up, to feel demoralized. And that team kept pushing and pushing and pushing right to the final bell. I mean, that should tell you something about that team. It should tell you something about Jared Bednar. They're not going to roll over and they're not going to die, but their goaltender gave them the kind of performance. And did I say this about Mike Kelly? Oh, I never got to this. So Georgiev, the 4.3 goals above expected that he allowed this game. If you're following that analytics stat, that was the 5th worst game a goaltender played this entire season. Entire season. There were only 4 games in which a goaltender allowed a higher number of goals above expected than that. So, everyone's happy about this, and we've talked about this, and I've already been on the record to say this. I still think this was the Winnipeg Jets playing Colorado-style game, and they won it. They pulled it out. They're going to start being more Winnipeg Jets-style game, which is going to make it harder. I still think they win the series. I still think they win it in 5 or less. But don't sit too comfortable. Your team just won a 7-6 game against another team that had the 5th worst performance by a goaltender. 32 teams, 82 games. Do the math. That's a lot of games. And to have the 5th worst game was a very fortuitous time for the Winnipeg Jets to run into that. Okay. Johnston Group got you covered, play of the game. What do you got, Ken?
Yeah. Honorable mention for the Nino kind of subtle tug on Makar, but I'm going with the block shot by Alex Iafallo. I think it was on the 3rd period power play there for the Avalanche. I don't think it was on the 6-on-5. I think it was during the power play. And they did end up scoring later on when he was off. Well, he was still on the ice, but earlier in the shift, he made just an absolutely great block. So I'm going with that as my choice. Maybe you had something else.
I can get to the Josh Morrissey play. Okay, really interesting play. As the power play was set up on the boards closest to us, you saw Mikko Rantanen would get the puck, and the Winnipeg Jets defense and defenders would just give him a lot of space. And you can tell part of their plan there is that when Mikko Rantanen gets the puck, that they shut down shooting lanes. They're not trying to challenge him or take the puck off of him, right? So then he moves it back up to Cale Makar. Cale Makar moves it over around the umbrella to Nathan MacKinnon. That's how they work a lot before they try and get the puck to the net. And so what happens is after a couple of passes over to Rantanen and then he passes it away, Rantanen falls into the trap that he's safe and that no one is going to touch him over there. And then the next time they move it over to Rantanen, and they do it kind of haphazardly, and Rantanen is just sitting there expecting to get it without a challenge. And Josh Morrissey just jumps the gun, knows it's going there, gets there first, takes the puck off him, and gets it down. I know that they ended up scoring on all their power plays on this night, but it's those kind of plays by Josh Morrissey where I see him outsmart some of the smartest players in the game. He does it consistently. His hockey IQ is off the charts. And for me, that was well worthy of the Johnson Group Got You Covered play of the game tonight. And hey, do you run a small business in Canada? Look to Canada's number one employee benefits plan, Chambers Plan, to give you a competitive edge. Chambers Plan is the simple, stable, smart choice for over 30,000 businesses countrywide. Visit chamberplan.ca to learn more. The Kenny and Rennie OGs at the Johnson Group. Gotta love them. Here from the beginning and still here rocking it with us in the playoffs. Let's move on to the keg save of the game. What do you got, Ken?
Yeah, I actually don't know who it was on, but there was a kind of a mad scramble there where Hellebuck had to sort of flail out and make the save there. So again, I apologize that I wrote it down somewhere, but I don't have it in front of me. But when the Avalanche were making a push, I thought he made a couple of really good saves.
Well, hey, third period was key, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It comes out, the Jets, that first one that goes off the crossbar, it's off Hellebuck's glove as well, right? So,
oh yeah,
that's a save. Otherwise, what happens is Nathan MacKinnon walks in there, it goes bar down and in the net, and now it's a 4-4 game, and now all bets are off, right? Because I do think that there was a little bit of after Adam Lowry goes out and scores that goal, there's a bit of a loss of hope by the Colorado Avalanche in that game. And that's what allows the Jets to kind of pounce and add the rest of the goals that put that game out of reach. That game is an entirely new game, and who knows what's going to happen if Hellebuck doesn't make that save. To me, that's the clear keg of the game. But it doesn't matter if I think it's clear or you think it's clear. It matters what the folks at home or in the chat room are thinking. Save us or send us your hashtag, the keg save of the game. You're automatically entered to win a $50 gift certificate usable at any of the three fine keg locations here in the city of Winnipeg, each location finer than the last. And the winner from our last show, that would be Schickster. Schickster, who is an usher at the games, Ken. Every once in a while, Hockey Night in Canada, he'll come down, say hi. Good to see him. Always faithfully putting in his TCB lamplighter and his hashtag, the keg save of the game. And it's paid off for him tonight. So, Schickster,
well done.
I'm sure you had a good night. If you can hear me right now, Schickster, you may be deaf from the crowd and the whiteout. I know it was loud, but you know what to do. Direct message me at SN Sean Reynolds. Send me your full name. Send me your email, and I will send you a $50 gift certificate usable at any of the three fine keg locations here in the city of Winnipeg. Each location finer than the last. And that means, oh, there he is. Schickster's right there. He can hear
there
me.
There you go.
But he's yelling.
He's listening.
It's not a lowercase.
That's all caps right there. Yelling. That's all caps, baby.
He's like the guy who's wearing earphones listening to music, and you talk to them and they talk back to you like this, and they think they're talking with a normal voice because he's deaf right now from the whiteout. So that's why he's yelling at you, everybody. Don't take it the wrong way. He can't hear right now. That's all that's happening. And that brings us, Ken, to our TCB lamplighter of the game. What do you got?
It's the Lowry second goal. There are other options, but there are no other excellent options. And the best part of the goal is not the goal. It's bowling over Mikko Rantanen before he gets himself open to get the puck from Mason Appleton, and then driving the net out, waiting Georgiev, then going post, post, post. But on the way to the third post, it already crossed the line. and you saw a little bit of white ice out there. And I loved Adam's answer to me that in real time, he had no doubt that the puck was in. Yes. But then after seeing the replays, like, honestly, I have no idea why I was that confident, which was just tremendous. Yes. Just tremendous stuff.
I said it. Well, I've said it once. I've said it 100 times. The hockey gods love the Winnipeg Jets this season. We've seen evidence of it over and over again. That's one of them. They bent, like, the laws of physics were bent to allow that puck. How does a puck go straight across the line to one post, straight across the line to another post, and then come across and go out without no one touching it and bend into the net for a fraction of a second and just enough? Hey, we call it a game of inches. That was a game. This game, it's
millimeters.
It's a game of millimeters. There, the hockey gods bent time and space to put that puck in the net and have it come on the way out. And no doubt, Ken, I agree with you 100%. The most, hard to say that definitively, but in my mind, the most important game of a 7-6 victory. That's my TCB lamplighter of the game. But it doesn't matter what I think, matters what you think. Give us your TransCanada Brewing Company lamplighter of the game. You're automatically entered to win a frosty, delicious 8-pack of Lamplighter Amber Ale, brought to you by our friends at TransCanada Brewing Company, where I was with my cousin Nigel and his little guy Atlas yesterday. Took him there for some great pizza, some great beer. He loved the atmosphere, bought a mixer pack on the way out, absolutely enjoyed himself, and asked, he's going to bring his mom back, my Auntie Jenny and my Uncle Marv. Yeah, that Uncle Marv, the guy, you know, I'm going to take him down to TCB so he doesn't get into my wine cooler. But absolutely had a great time down there, as you would if you headed on down to TransCanada Brewing Company and join them in their tap room at 11290 Keniston Avenue or Keniston Boulevard, where we will be having the Kenny and Rennie year ender, where we send her two Mondays after the final Jets game of the year. We will let you all know about it. You should come on down. It is a blast. It will be the biggest sports media party of the entire year, and we plan to keep that going year after year after year. That brings us to our winner of the TCB lamplighter from the last game, and that would be Lou Perlin. Lou Perlin. Hey, Lou Perlin has it all, but Lou Perlin is the one walking away with the frosty, delicious 8-pack of Lamplighter Amber Ale. But only if Lou Perlin direct messages me at SN Sean Reynolds and shares with me their full name and their email address. Do that, and I will send you a voucher for a frosty, delicious 8-pack of Lamplighter Amber Ale, brought to you by our friends at TransCanada Brewing Company. It is the absolute nectar of the gods. 3-2 Vancouver, I'm looking at right now.
I just saw that.
6:19 left.
It was 2-1 Nashville.
I know. So come back by Vancouver. They look like they're playing a pretty solid game out there. Anyways, that's it for us. We're going to shut it down here because we need our sleep. Lots of work to do. No more days off until the Jets are done. So we'll see you again on Tuesday after the Winnipeg Jets play game 2 of their series. We'll see how it goes. I expect an entirely different game, Ken, but you never know. Either way, it looks like it's going to be an interesting series way or another. Anything to say before we go?
Yeah, just last one, and just for historical context, I mean, we know the Jets had those wins against, against Edmonton, Sean, but this was the first whiteout win since game 1 of 2018 Western Conference Final, which is wild to me.
Crazy.
And people showed up, as you mentioned, great atmosphere inside, outside, fun building, and, you know, again, people in this market were showing off what they like to do in terms of atmosphere to the entire nation and whoever was watching on down south and around the world as well. It was impressive, great atmosphere, and should be even more rocking for game 2, I would imagine.
I'll tell you this much right now. If the Colorado Avalanche got the goaltending out of Alexander Georgiev that the Vancouver Canucks are getting out of Thatcher Demko right now, we wouldn't be talking about a Jets.
We'd have a different conversation.
Yeah. Yes. Anyways, Winnipeg Jets fans in the whiteout and everywhere, you so well represented yourself tonight, as did all the folks in the chat room, which they always do, and as did you, Kenny, as you always do. And I will say this
you as well,
we shut this down. If you appreciate the conversations happening in this space, please appreciate the contributions by our sponsors who fight to keep the conversation going in this space. For us, that's Vittorio Rossi, Cambrian Credit Union, Pristine Roofing, Sweet Lou Ferlin, the Johnston Group, the Keg, and of course TransCanada Brewing Company. Thank you to them. Thank you to all of you. We will chat with you again Tuesday after game 2 of the Stanley Cup playoffs between the Winnipeg Jets and the Colorado Avalanche. Bye now, everybody.